the life that you've been given and everything that comes along with that life as a follower of Christ, he has brought into your life to bring about results that are not contained to this life.
Hey, this is Ryan Tucker, and we want to thank you for listening to the Unchangeable Truth Podcast. In this podcast, we get to dive into Pastor Stephen's weekly sermons right here at Highland Park Baptist Church. We would ask you to rate, like, subscribe, and comment. And again, we are honored and thankful that you have chosen to listen to the Unchangeable Truth. What's up, everybody, and welcome to the Unchangeable Truth Podcast with Pastor Stephen Kyle. And how are you on this Monday afternoon?
I'm great.
You're great?
I'm good.
It's a Monday. Like, yeah, sometimes your good. Mondays are kind of crazy.
But I've been meeting all day.
Nothing new.
But, you know, I came in here, and I'll be honest with you, I feel a lot more comfortable just looking across, see that big old smiling face sitting in that chair next
just
to me there.
So kind and gracious and smiling all the time.
I was at a meeting last night that you were a part of, and a young man was sharing his testimony and started talking about this guy with his big old smiling face, and he was talking about you.
I know. I guess I need to learn to smile more often. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know, man. You know, but I'm
really a nice guy. Like, once you get past the, you know, exterior of all of this, like, I'm a pretty nice fella.
Well, I heard it, and here's what I thought. Thank goodness for you, or he'd still be lost.
I know it, man. I just love people, love Jesus, and want to point people to Jesus, you know.
But. It was good. It was good. So, anyway, yeah, we're in here, and I think this may be the first time in a while, like, everything is working.
Everything's working.
I hate to even say that, even though I don't believe in bad luck. So, but I grew up. Did you grow up? I mean, I grew up with a grandmother that, like, if you walked underneath a ladder,
yeah,
it's like 7 years bad luck. Is that right?
Yeah, we never. I heard it, but we never did.
Yeah, if a black cat crossed in front of your car, you had to turn around and go back to where you started from, or it'd be bad luck. So like me and my cousin. We're like, no, not if you put a cross on the windshield. And so the black cat, we lick our finger and make a cross on the windshield. We good.
Yeah. Or what is it, umbrella inside or walking under it? I don't know.
I think it's, you're not supposed to open an umbrella inside.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's crazy, some of those old wives' tales.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll see. And swallow gum, it takes 7 years to go. No, I think that's a medical fact, right? That's not a wives' tale. I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
So I don't swallow gum. Anyway.
There you go. A little bit of factoid about Stephen Kyle. He does not swallow gum.
Now that I've got a grandson, I sit there and I try to give him little tidbits of very important life knowledge. You know, just little. That's one. You know, don't swallow gum, buddy. Don't swallow gum.
I would have to imagine that your grandson is going to get all sorts of information from you.
I guess so. Yeah, I guess so.
Story time with Paul.
I guess so. Papa.
Papa, sorry.
Yeah, not Papa.
That was close.
Papa.
Story Papa. Time with Papa.
Yeah, he came over Saturday, and he and Papa took a three-hour nap on the couch.
Nice.
Yeah, sweet.
Three hours?
Well, you know, he fell asleep. You know, you're just like, man, you don't want to wake the kid up. He might have had a hard night. And anyway, so I fell asleep, and I don't know what time that jugger went to bed that night, but that wasn't my concern. He was going back to his mama and daddy's house, so I don't know. I do think yesterday in the preschool ministry, he's been doing really good, but I don't think he had a good morning because I think, honestly, he stayed up all night. And anyway, probably his sleep schedule messed up.
But
we don't follow a sleep schedule.
You took a three-hour nap?
I took as close to a three-hour nap as I could.
Man, I don't know if I can do it. Like, I would just hurt.
Good for
I don't
you.
Know.
When you get to be 55, man.
I'm not that far behind you.
You take advantage of sleep opportunity when you get it.
Well, I don't sleep a lot anyway. Like, I'll go to bed at 12, 12:30, then I'm up about 5:15.
Good for you.
I don't know why, but I can't. Sleep.
I went to sleep last night about 11, woke up at 1:30 because I'd made the mistake. I was at church yesterday from like 7 until 8:30 last night, and at 8:30 I'm leaving to go home, and I look at my phone, and my wife had texted me saying, hey, I'm letting you know she was over at my daughter's house, and I'm like, what's going on over there? Well, there's a bunch of folks over here, and they're kind of having a little late birthday party for her, and there's food and everything. And I'm like, I'm so tired. I think I'm just going to go home. And then she said, but Grant's here. And I'm like, well, I may come by.
Yeah.
And I go over there, and I messed up because they had, like, I mean, they're all in their 20s. Yeah. And they had this hot buffalo dip. And anyway, they fixed me a plate, you know, and I'm sitting there, and I'm eating at 8:30. And, I should have known better. You can't eat that late when you're my age. And so sure enough, about 1:30, I'm like, oh, man, all right. Let me take some Tums and go to the media room and sit up straight on the couch and turn a Western on, and maybe I can fall back asleep.
They're still texting each other. Did you see where we fed the old guy?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That, and the, like the, what do they call those little wrapped up little wieners?
Pig in a blanket.
Pig in a blanket. They had the pigs in a blanket.
But they're not spicy though.
They're not. But you know, I was dipping them in stuff. And
well, that's your problem.
Here's the reality, dude. Man, you get to be my age. You can't eat stuff that late at night. Not if you want to sleep. So it just is what it is. You just count the cost, man. All right. You wake up, you know what you got to do. So anyway, so if you take a 3-hour nap with your grandson, you take a 3-hour nap with your grandson.
That's it. Just enjoy that time.
That's right. But we need to move on. I guess we probably need to talk about some scripture, or maybe.
Well, do we have? So we have last week we responded to a question that somebody had about saints and the word saint being used in the Old Testament, New Testament, and the Jewish correlation through all that. But then somebody else kind of asked a question along those same lines. Well, not the same lines, but on the same post. And his question is, how do you encourage believers today to build a stronger foundation and truly live set apart for Christ? So let me ask that question again. You know, how do we encourage believers today to build a stronger foundation and truly live a set apart life for Christ?
I would say the way that Christians have always done that. You've got to be intentional.
Yeah.
You need to spend time daily in the Word, and not just read the Word for information's sake. But I like to say it this way: take your life and lay it over the top of the Word,
yeah,
and it's not going to match up.
Yeah.
And where it doesn't match up, then with the help of the Holy Spirit, man, we're gonna make some adjustments here. But may there never be a time in your life where you sit there and you think, "Well, I've learned all that I need to learn," and may your our prayer needs to just be simply, hey, Jesus, help me to fall more in love with you tomorrow than I am today. And I would say as well, it's very important to be actively involved in a Bible teaching church, have accountability there. Let there be people in your life that you give the license. Hey, you can ask me the hard questions. You can tell me what you believe you need to tell me, and I'm going to be accepting of that. And I mean, goodness, just sit there and say, hey, Lord, I understand this is not my life. This is your life.
Yeah.
And I say, be careful who you surround yourself with. I hesitate to say that because so many people, that means I'm only supposed to hang around believers.
Right.
No, not at all. I mean, we all need to have unbelievers in our life so that we can be witnesses to them. But yet, where do I spend the majority of my time? You know, who do I allow? Maybe a better way to say it is this: who do I allow to influence my life?
Yeah.
And you know, just that daily pursuit, spending time in prayer.
Yeah.
There is no shortcut to time in the Word and time in prayer.
Yeah.
And may the prayer be, God, use me.
Yeah. And I have to tell myself all the time, like, Ryan, just love Jesus more, right? Like, just love him more. And, you know.
Well, and Jesus himself said, you want to know who loves me?
Yeah.
Look at the ones keeping my commands.
Yeah.
They love me. And, of course, we know that being obedient to Christ is understanding what he's called you to and a continual decision, a daily decision of, I'm not going to give in to the flesh. I'm going to follow after you.
Yeah.
And that's how we continue to be set apart. And we're not talking about perfection.
Right.
But let's just be honest. The longer you walk with Christ and the more you mature in your faith, the more consistently you ought to get it right than you get it wrong. Right. Yeah, life ought to be different for you as a maturing believer than it was as a new believer, as a baby believer.
Yeah.
And
It's amazing what the word does to you, right? Like even if there are those times where you feel like you're just reading words on a page because, you know, maybe your heart is you know, maybe got some stuff in it that there needs to be some confession and repentance, or maybe you're tired, whatever, like, but man, that consistent intentionality with the word, like, it really does do this drastic change in your heart and in your mind. And it's to me, it's just one of the coolest things to be a part of.
It is. And I would say as well, don't forget that the life that you've been given and everything that comes along with that life, he has, as a follower of Christ, he has brought into your life to bring about results that are not contained to this life.
Yeah.
Man, help me live with a kingdom worldview. Mm. And help me live with an eternal worldview. Mm. I always say it this way. If I'm living with a kingdom eternal worldview, if the waiter messed up my order, that really doesn't matter.
Yeah.
10,000 years from now, not going to matter.
Yeah.
Great questions to ask ourselves.
Yeah.
Over and over. And I cannot state again the importance of accountability.
Yeah.
Accountability.
Mm.
What do they say? Do a checkup from the neck up? Well, I'm going to say do a checkup from the toes up, right?
Yeah.
Hey, God, how am I here?
Yeah.
And love Jesus more, as you just said.
Yeah.
It seems so simple.
It's a simple answer, but man, there's a lot to it.
Oh, golly. Yeah. You know. And we talked a little bit yesterday, even in the sermon, about discipleship.
Yeah.
And I know we'll get into that as we start digging into the sermon. But great question. And the fact, I mean, it is. It's humbling to think that God chooses to accomplish his plans and his will through the obedience of his people, when all he had to do is speak it and it would take place.
Yeah.
So as a saint, we're set apart through Christ to accomplish the work of Christ to the glory of Christ.
And I'm still amazed that that I get to do this.
Isn't that crazy?
You know, like, it's...
Isn't that crazy?
It is.
May we never get over the wonder of working for Christ.
We're about to have church right here in a podcast room. Journey.
Goodness and you know, Ryan, one of the things that I I've said publicly many times, but this is true, and it's not my prayer every day, but when I do have to have a little adjustment of self, so many times I sit there and I say, hey, God, may I never forget what it's like to be a lost man. Mm. May I never forget what I've been delivered from.
You mean even you as a senior pastor, super spiritual, super saved person, you got to have this readjustment every now and then?
Yeah, without a doubt. Consistently.
All right, Revelation chapter 10. Otherwise, we're going to get on an even more of a rabbit trail. Revelation chapter 10, you kind of talked about how this is like a pause moment as you know, God is revealing all this stuff to John about some things. Well, then kind of 10 is him speaking directly to John. Is that kind of how you said that?
Yeah, I mean, so the sixth trumpet has been blown.
Right.
And we have this parenthetical section before the seventh trumpet is blown. Up until now, John has been looking at this from the perspective of heaven looking down on earth. And now he's actually focusing on being on earth.
Mm.
And I don't know. We can't understand. I heard a guy describe it one time as the vision started fading. I don't know if that's the case or not, but clearly God here is saying specific things to him, through an angel, and it's kind of a little bit removed. And one of the things we'll even see as we continue on, next week into chapter 11 is, especially till we get up to verse 15, is same thing. He starts talking then about specific things that'll be happening on the earth, not so much about the seals being opened and the wrath being poured out, but he will be talking about, just how mankind will respond, and we'll get into some crazy things, the two witnesses.
Even more crazy things?
Exactly. And so, but it is. I mean, it's so easy to sit there and look at Revelation just like, man, this is kind of all over the map. Yeah. This is like psychedelic or whatever. You probably don't understand that terminology. Journey gets it. But there's rhyme. There's reason to what's happening here. And God is, I just say, God's very purposeful in what he does.
Well, and I like the way you kind of explained it, you start talking about the angels and that's given this message, you even said there's going to be commentaries and these scholars that don't necessarily agree on who or what, but then there is this kind of this validation of, let's remember that the word of God is supreme. It's first. It is absolute. It's a primary thing in our life. So don't get stuck on those disagreements. But, man, we're stuck on what the word says.
Sure. And I tried to make it clear.
Yeah.
Commentaries aren't bad.
Right.
I have commentaries that I use. I would say this. Make sure you understand whose writings that you're reading. But I think the statement that I made in the sermon is, to me, the greatest commentators are the truest, most accurate commentaries are going to make it clear this does not supersede the Word of God.
Right.
You don't go to a commentary and say, all right, let me find out what God's Word says. No. Go to God's Word. Dig in God's Word.
Yeah.
But then, use those as helps to sit there because there are great men and women who've come before and, man, they, in their own study, they're able to put that down and they bring a little bit more understanding to Scripture. And so commentaries are not bad. They are just not meant to replace the Word of God. And I'll even say that when it comes to paraphrases.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll use the Message paraphrase every now and then, and I would never tell somebody, hey, go out and get the Message to me to be your main study Bible because there's some shortcomings there.
Yeah.
Instead, I'm going to use, I preach out of the New King James just because that's what I've always preached out of, and so I stick with it. Yeah. But I use the New American Standard. I even use the ESV. I use the Christian Standard Bible. I'll use the NLT. I'll go back to the lexicon. I use all, but a paraphrase, I'll sit there and I'm like, you know what, man, I like the way this reads, and this does not take away from the original meaning here. Commentaries, they're okay. And I have folks ask me all the time, what are commentaries? What are some commentaries that you like to use? I mean, naturally, man, I'm old school. I like the Wiersbe. I always like the Wiersbe. I like some MacArthur stuff. I don't agree with these guys on everything. I think they get it more right than they get it wrong. Right. And I'm a J. Vernon McGee guy. I like Vine's commentary.
Yeah.
And Vine's will be here this Sunday at one of our campuses. So,
that dude's smart.
Yeah.
He is smart. Anyway, let's talk about this. You mentioned discipleship earlier, and I know there's a lot in between that, especially whenever we talk about, you kind of give this description of the angel, the fact that there is this declaration of what he's saying, that there are going to be some things that are still sealed up. Maybe John didn't write everything that was going on, but you talk about how, in all of this, God's timing is absolutely perfect. And we're living in these days of delay as we're waiting on stuff to happen. As we are, we have grace, right? Like we're living in this time of grace rather than this of the wrath that's coming. But go ahead.
Well, no, I mean, absolutely. He's sitting here and the angel tells John, like, he shares something with him, and then he's like, but don't write that down.
Right.
Seal that up. Let's not put that down, because in God will make that known in the right time.
Right.
In the right time. Now's not the right time, John.
Yeah.
And because we asked the question, some of the things that you wrote there, seven thunders, they uttered, and okay, what does that mean?
Right.
We don't really know. He doesn't go into great detail there. And then he talks about delay no longer, and he talks about the mystery of God. And, you know, to me, the mystery is, okay, God, if you're God and you are just and, you know, you are holy and you hate sin, then why don't you punish wicked mankind? Because we would sit here and look around. We would say, be honest with you, man, there's some folks out there that are just, for lack of a better word, hellions. And it seems like their life's going pretty well.
Yeah.
It seems like they're going, and we've talked about this before on the podcast, some of the godliest people I've ever met in my life would be like, man, it seems like they really suffer.
Yeah.
They really deal with a lot, or they have nothing.
Yeah.
Even when we were dealing with the seven churches.
Yeah.
You know, the little one that had very little, mm-hmm. And yet they were extremely faithful. So for us to sit here and say, I don't understand why those things happen. Why do good people suffer? Why do bad people prosper? A mystery. Yeah. There are others. I've heard where some sit there and say, well, the mystery is how some are saved and some are not saved. I would sit there and say, well, that's not really a mystery to me, because the mystery is either I respond to the gospel or I don't respond to the gospel. And for somebody who has said yes to the gospel of Jesus Christ and being radically saved, then I sit there and I just shake my head. How in the world could you not say yes to the gospel?
Yeah.
And some say, well, that's the mystery. I don't believe that's what he's talking about here. I believe, because he says delay no longer, I believe the question is, when will wickedness be punished?
Yeah.
Mm. And he's saying, well, that's coming. And one day, God's grace, I mean, his justice will, but golly, I say that, even in his justice, he's still going to be graceful or gracious.
Yeah.
Because even as his wrath being poured out, there'll still be some who get saved.
Yeah.
And so his grace will still be there. But we are living in that time of he's holding back.
Yeah.
He's holding back.
Yeah.
Why is he holding back? I mean, I think scripture says he desires that all men be saved. That is his heart's desire. And he wants one more come to Christ.
Yeah.
One more trust Jesus. I'll delay, but the day... Do not mistake his slowness as his inability to act.
Yeah.
One day he will say, okay, I'm going to rapture the church.
Yeah.
And judgment will be poured out in the time of tribulation. So I believe that's the mystery that he says. It will not delay.
Yeah. And then, you know, as you kind of close up your sermon, there are some directions given. And, you know, and this is where, you know, you kind of started talking about how the word of God is, as it's being in our life, it's important for our life. There are going to be some sweet moments to it. There's some bitter moments to it. We got to eat it, right? But then you kind of, going back to what you said earlier, you kind of talked about discipleship. And I want to kind of maybe tie those together, because, you know, sometimes people have a different view of discipleship, or it's like this very large, vague thought of what discipleship is. Like, when you talk about discipleship, especially when it comes to the Word of God, like what are you wanting discipleship to be? Like,
well, I say we look at the root word disciple. What is the disciple? I'm a follower.
Mm.
I do what my master tells me.
Yeah,
I'm their disciple. I think discipleship, in modern terminology, is this romanticized idea.
Yeah.
We will all sit around a coffee shop. We will stroke our beards. And we will talk.
I tried.
I didn't mean that personally. I didn't mean that personally. But, you know, and we will talk about the deep intricacies of Scripture.
Yeah, yeah.
And boy, wasn't that great discipleship?
Yeah.
No, that's not discipleship. Discipleship. What does the master want me to do? Because he's the master, I'm the follower. I now follow. I have discipleship. It is lived out in my life.
Yeah.
And you look at the words of Christ, for somebody to sit there and say, oh man, discipleship, that's an easy one. Well, now what were you reading?
Yeah.
And I even made the illustration of, you know, the crowds are getting larger and larger. And it's almost like Jesus said, well, it's about time to cull it down and see who's really here for the long haul.
Yeah.
Let's see who's really a disciple or who's just looking for what I can give them.
Yeah, yeah. And I think you kind of narrowed it down in deny self and die daily.
Pretty much. Take up your cross.
And that is so hard for us.
When he said take up your cross, understand, cross gets lost on us because we see cross as a little charm around the neck. Or if you walked into our worship center, I mean, we have some crosses displayed and backlit, and they're really kind of cool and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Cross, it would be the equivalent of us wearing an electric chair charm around our neck, around the bracelet. It was a mode of death. There was no one that would sit there and say, tell you what, boy, tell you what I hope I get. I hope I get to cross.
Yeah.
Not at all. But what he is saying is you got to take up your own cross. You got to die.
Mm.
Die and follow me. Die to yourself. That's the reason why he even goes along and he even says, hey, man, unless you hate your father and your mother and your brother and your sister, and there are people that are like, Jesus just said you're supposed to hate your parents and your siblings.
Right.
That's not what he said.
Right.
What he is saying is, if you're going to be a follower of mine, I am of the utmost importance. It will appear as though you are hating them.
Right.
He doesn't call you to hate them. What he's saying is, let's get the order right.
Yeah.
I'm Lord. And
love Jesus more.
Love Jesus more. Yeah. Well, we love the love part.
Yeah.
Just the whole discipleship.
Mm.
Let me define what discipleship is.
Yeah, yeah.
The discipleship, oh, I want it to be, ooh, man, that tickles my intellect.
Yeah.
Well, no, Jesus didn't say that. Jesus didn't say, hey, I want you to do this. Join a book club and, you know, meet every week.
Yeah.
And, you know, y'all debate ideas and, you know, tell me what you really think and, you know, and then do your prayer time and then you're good to go and read a chapter next week and get. That's not discipleship.
Yeah.
Discipleship would be this. Okay. Hey, we're about to get laid bare. Now, whatever it takes, follow me.
Yeah.
I didn't really draw a lot of crowds.
Yeah.
But that's what discipleship is. And here's what I would say. When you truly grasp and live discipleship, you sit there and it ratifies or it radically changes everything. And you now say, man, whew, I get to serve the King. I'm a saint.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Well, and then you close it out talking about how, you know, Jesus is coming back. And I know we don't have time to get into it, but you use the illustration about this picture of this chess game happening, and
it's one of my
most
among recent years one of my favorite illustrations.
And then, you know, you kind of closed out just saying, you know, that the King has one more move, that he's coming back, you know, he's taking the church home, like he's not done, he has a purpose, he has a plan, he's got one more move. And I thought it was a powerful statement to close on. Man, as always, thank you for pointing us to Jesus and the truth of Scripture. And we'll see you right here next time on the Unchangeable Truth Podcast.
This is Pastor Stephen Kyle, and I would like to thank you for listening to this week's episode of Unchangeable Truth. We would always love to talk to you about your relationship with Jesus Christ, so feel free to shoot us an email at podcast@highlandpark.org. That's HILANDPARK.org.
The purpose of this broadcast is to help you fall more in love with Jesus Christ and your faith to grow as you consistently find yourself in the Word of God. If you ever find yourself in Panama City, please feel free to stop by and worship with us in person at 2611 Highway 231 North. May God bless you, and we look forward to you joining us again.